Hello, and welcome to this edition of TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Tommy Patterson from Virtually Cloud 9, Senior Technical Evangelist out of Atlanta. Great stories today. What we're going to do is we're going to talk to internal Microsoft IT folk and take a look at the agile development process for self-service business intelligence. This is a big area. This is a growing area, and we have to nail it internally. And what we're going to do today is share what we found and share our insights with you. And joining me today is Jeff Melton, Senior Business Program Manager for this team. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Tommy. Excited to be here.
Great. So why don't you just give us a little bit of rundown? I mean, I go around and speak at events and talk about the latest in technology. I do mostly stuff in Azure these days, but also I do blogging and videos and work with Chris on TechNet Radio. So tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little about your background, and then what you do.
Okay. I've been here at Microsoft almost 15 years, been in the business intelligence area the whole time in different parts of the company. And most recently, the last couple of years, I've on the BI at Microsoft team, and we've been working with the product groups internally and our different business partners and business units around the company to really enable self-service business intelligence. And it's been quite a journey, and we've learned a lot of things along the way. And I'm really excited about this project and this topic, because when you enable the business analysts, great things happen and actions can be taken. So this is a really fun area to be working in right now.
Excellent. Okay, so just so I understand and help the audience. So self-service for business intelligence means that we have large sets of data out there, and they would like to be able to pull up information in their own way. But we have to have a process behind that so that when we do have data that we can deliver to those business units, that it's easy to use and provides the right information?
Exactly. Yeah. So the key problem is that the business needs insights, and they need them quickly to stay competitive. And in the old model, IT starts with a giant requirements document that, you know, takes weeks, sometimes months to do. And then the development process is another 6 to 9 months. And by the time something's actually delivered, the business has changed, and oftentimes what's delivered misses the mark. And so what we've been working on is really to empower the business analysts to get to the data with the tools that they can use to really unlock the insights. And we in Microsoft have been using Power BI to make that happen.
Awesome. Okay, so we're empowering information workers to be able to self-serve or gain access themselves to this business intelligence data and see it in a good form that they can actually use and act on quickly. All right, so just give me an idea of how do you start with this? I mean, there's got to be some kind of methodology.
Exactly, and it's not written in stone, but usually what I find is people kind of go through a general set of 6 to 7 steps to get to the data and unlock it. And you start with some kind of an idea. You're trying to solve a business problem. You're trying to answer a question. And usually most of the analysts I find kind of know where to get the data. Sometimes they have to search around, talk to colleagues or whatever, but the first thing is, you know, kind of start to gather some data together and take a look at it. And the key is you don't want to grab massive amounts of data. You don't get your entire enterprise. You want to start with just real small scale, because the key is to iterate very, very quickly. In the typical IT model, it's tough for the developers and the testers and everyone to move quickly, but the analyst, in a matter of literally hours, can go out, they can grab some data, they can look at it, they can see what the quality is, does it have all the data they need. If it doesn't, they can go back, they can find some more data, pull it in, join it together, and create some great visualizations. And the idea is to fail, we call it fail quickly. So you're trying to gather the information, look at it quickly, adjust, and try again, and keep going through that iterative process until you get close to what you're looking for.
Very, very cool. Okay, so I got to imagine that some of the delay really comes from just finding the sources of data or gaining access to it.
Exactly. Yep. And these data sources, what we find is, you know, usually there's your big giant corporate sources, the financial sources and things that everyone needs. But all businesses have their own way of doing things. So a lot of the data is locked up in Excel spreadsheets and other areas that, you know, developers usually don't want to touch because they're not always available when you need them. And that generates support calls in the middle of the night. But the analysts, they have the data. It's right there. It's usually within their team. Using things like Power BI, they can connect to the SQL sources. They can connect to the spreadsheets and other things that they need. They can pull it in and join that together. And really, they can start to model the data in the way that they need to see it. Okay. And just going through that iterative process, they learn things, and often you start with a set of questions, and by the time you're all done and you see the data, you realize, hey, it'd be great, you know, I can see this, but now I need to ask this other question. And so it leads to this kind of iterative process of I've learned some things, it opens up new ideas, you go get some more data, you bring it together, you look at it again, and you keep going through this process. And in the end, you end up with a much better project or application for the business users and the executives than in the traditional IT model.
Very, very cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the data sets. I mean, there's lots of different sources for data. We've done a high level, like financial data and business yep. data. But yep. where would we see this type of data? And I guess, you know, spreadsheets we talked about, but we're yep. talking, are we talking SQL? What are we talking?
So there's, you know, a lot of the typical sources are in SQL data marts. Some of them are in the OLTP systems, the transactional systems. A lot of times what we find is that the big corporate systems, the CRM systems, the financial systems, they've got giant sets of data, and all users need access to that stuff. But in addition, business units will grab that data, they'll pull it together, and they'll take business-focused sets of data. So around the sales teams want pipeline data with quotas and actuals that they can look at. And that's usually, at least here in Microsoft, that comes from, you know, three or four different business units and pulling that together. So the business teams have some IT shops, if you will, where they pull that data together and they'll put it into SQL data marts. They'll put it into analysis services cubes. And the users also need access to that. And usually the businesses will want the pipeline data with the finance data, with the, you know, some of the HR data. And so they also need data from many business groups. And so there's kind of this daisy chain of data that the business analysts, they need pieces of all of it to answer the specific questions for their, you know, their units.
Very cool. So, you know, I imagine security comes up quite a bit in that. But, you know, when they're finding this data, they're looking across their team. Maybe they're talking to their peers. What other areas or places do they find where they can find this data?
Yeah, and a lot of times I find the analysts, you know, they know their base data pretty well. A lot of times they'll do what we call white space analysis, where people want to know, hey, where does something not exist, right? Where do we have certain sets of licenses where we don't have, you know, something else that's a, you know, complementary technology or service associated with it? And so they'll start to, like you say, they'll ask their peers, they'll ask, you know, other analysts in other groups around the company. And sometimes they'll even just, like, you know, kind of, you know, blog or spam it out in Yammer. Internally, we use Yammer. And so they'll post questions in Yammer. Hey, has anyone seen this kind of data, or do they have this kind of data? So a lot of times it's kind of a, you know, research, you know, to find that information and uncover exactly where it is.
All right. Okay. I mean, talk us through how you filter through that. Does it meet the criteria? I guess, you know, are all the columns filled in?
Right.
Would be something I would ask, but what other things do you have to?
Yeah, so the you go out and the key is to grab something small. So if you're in one of the sales teams, you don't go for the worldwide data. It's like grab a small territory. You can get sample data, but I usually like to get just, find a small territory or a small region where you can pull some data in and it has a, a small number of transactions. And just you start looking at the data quality as, like you said, are all the columns filled in? Is there information there that I can use to join to other data that I'm going to be pulling in? And you're just like, looking at... also, a lot of times columns are filled in, but the salespeople fill things in the what I find is they'll fill things in their tools because someone told them to. It's not information that's relevant for them. Someone told them to fill it in, and so they just put gibberish in, or they put if it's a dropdown, right. they'll choose the first thing in the dropdown, right, just to get past that. So you're kind of looking for, does the data look like people are really filling it out? Is it accurate? Does it make sense? Are all the columns filled in? Mm-hmm. And are the things there that you need so that you can join it to your Excel spreadsheet or, to the other set of data that you're pulling in?
Yeah. And then if it doesn't, you're back to, let's find more samples of data.
Exactly. You're either back to finding more samples or in the case of trying to join it with the probably the biggest challenge is every single team creates data or brings data in a different way. And so joining that up is usually the largest problem. And a lot of times you'll have pieces of data that you can use between the two sets. And if you concatenate a few columns together, you can actually generate a key that you need to join those things together. Now, if you're a developer and you're using SQL, there's all kinds of different ways that you can generate keys and pull things together. But as a business analyst, I don't have the skills to do SQL or analysis services. And so using something like Power BI and Power Query, where I can pull the data in and I can conform that data and I can join some columns together, concatenate them together, I can actually use these tools very easily to create some keys that I can use to join the different data sets together that I'm looking at.
So let's say we get everything joined together. It's starting to look good. Now the data has come alive. We can actually start to see it.
Exactly.
Talk me through what happens then.
So just putting the data together, that's the key step. That's the foundation. Nothing happens unless you get the data right. So it's really important to do that. But you don't see anything. The data doesn't come alive, as you say, until you can see it. And so then you start to put charts and visualizations and with Power View, you can do drill down, you can filter and, it's interactive. You're clicking on parts of the screen and it's affecting other charts and things that you do. So you put some visualizations up and you set different filters and you start drilling in and filtering and looking at the stuff. And I always find when I put things together, I have an idea in my mind. And the first time I look at it, it's like, wow, that doesn't give me what I thought it would, And so I go back and I'll have to get some more data. Sometimes I'll just sort it differently, or I may have to join it differently, or, create a calculated column or a measure to do something that I'm trying to do. But I can go back, I can do that. And usually within, worst case, it may take me an hour to go back, get some data, pull it in, do the things I need to do, and then resurface that in the visualization. And then I can see the data and I can start to answer those questions. And once I get a reasonable set, then I can sit down with the business user that I'm working with and we can start to validate and look at that. Is this what you need? No, it's not. Okay, I can go back and adjust. And a lot of times we can do that real time in a 60, 90-minute session, just sitting there side by side, working together, grabbing the data. They see it in the chart. It's not what they need. I go fix it. We look at it again. So a real, interactive, iterative approach at that point. To get the data and look at it and see if you're getting the insights you want.
Right. So they're saying, here's what you did right. Here's what you need to improve on.
Yep.
But here's some new things you might need to go look for. And sometimes you do that in a working session. Sometimes you go back and you know, go back, group huddle, figure it out, come back and present again. Okay. And then if that doesn't quite hit the mark, then you go back up the chain a little bit further, get some more data sets, start thinking through it a little differently, but at least you've all learned from that exercise so that the data that you present next time will be even more fine-tuned. Right.
Exactly. And that's where the, you know, kind of the iterations come through. So you look at the stuff, not quite, you know, what you want. Sometimes you can just go back one step, you know, fix it, change it, take a look at it again. Sometimes you just, you need more data. And a lot of times that comes from the analysts or the executives, whoever the target audience is, you know, they see the data and it's like, wow, this is great. You know what? You know, it's like, tell me about this. Okay, I didn't think about that question. I need some more data, right? So it makes them, once they see the data, it's kind of like they have an idea, but until they see it, they don't really know what they want. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to generate more questions. Oh, this is great. You know, now tell me, you know, what about this? And so you go back and you can get some data. And again, it's interactive. And, you know, it's usually you can turn these around fairly quickly. And at the end, they have something that goes way beyond what they were originally thinking and can answer a lot more questions than they originally had planned on, just by being able to see the data and asking the questions that they didn't even think that they wanted to ask in the first place.
So I guess once you get to that phase where your data is pretty good, now what you're doing is maybe expanding out to different locations and regions or different data sets that are comparable, and maybe you can make some comparisons to data or provide some parallels inside the business?
Right. So once you kind of use that small set of data, you iterate on it, you can visualize the data and you start to answer the questions around that, you know, that one territory or the small region or, you know, whatever the small set of projects you're working on, whatever that is, then you can expand the data out, you know, go like let's say we're talking with the sales team in the United States here, and I may be working with someone in the Southwest Territory. So we just focus on the Southwest Territory, but others will want that same information. So then maybe we go to the Southeast, or we pick up, you know, all of the U.S. And so you start to expand, and that does a few things. It helps you kind of figure out, you know, scale. Can I get the data in that I need, or am I starting to run into some, you know, performance issues? A lot of times, different regions will fill out data differently. So now you're kind of going back through. You have to look at the data quality. With the visualizations that you have, you'll be able to see the, you know, outliers and things that aren't fitting in the patterns that you were expecting, and you can drill into those and figure out what's going on. And is it something you need to account for in your data model, or, you know, is this just something that you hadn't thought about, but it's a, you know, a business issue that, you know, you need to go address. So it helps to surface a lot of those things just by being able to see the data. But you expand out and you see things that you hadn't thought of before, and then you're able to take action.
Okay, and then, you know, I'm wondering too, the when you span across a region or even, you know, country to country, there's going to be some language disparity, data quality issues there that can change just because of cultural differences.
You're exactly right. A lot of times being, you know, we're in we do business in 140 countries. And so the people are putting in information in all kinds of different languages. So, you know, a lot of the things that show up on the screen, I don't understand, because I can't read kanji, right? So, right. So those things do, you know, can you, and sometimes you can see, you know, do the double byte characters come through, you know, is there a problem with the processes behind the scenes? And then countries will fill in, you know, address is a great thing. All countries have different, you know, ways that they put addresses in, or even first name and last name, you know, they put them in different orders in different countries. That's, you know, when you start to expand out, you know, especially geographically across countries and you know, regions and continents, a lot of those things start to appear that you have to think about.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the IT partnership side of this, how we come into play, or how the IT department comes into play from a, I guess, the process of and the scale of it. How does that work?
Yeah, so you always need corporate systems that are the source of the truth that you don't want people playing with. Your financial data that you're reporting to the SEC or the GAAP data, your accounting data. It's like some of that stuff needs to be, locked down. There needs to be one source of the truth. And the IT guys take care of that stuff. And a lot of times that's the beginning of the process. But in the old IT world where the business person would, hey, I need to answer this question. And so they'd fill out this big, 40, 50, 60 page BRD and all of that. Well, now with this process, the business analyst can go out, they can get the data, they can pull it in, their executive can look at it, they can answer the questions, they can get it working for what they need. And then they can turn that back over to the IT department to say, hey, here's a working model of what I need. And what we find is, especially if while you're creating this with like Power Pivot, you create a good data model. The IT guys can see, okay, I see what they're doing. I see how they generate the KPIs, the metrics, the measures that they're looking at. I see how they organize their hierarchies and the different things. So the IT guys can actually see how the business uses the data. And then they can take that and get those, use that as requirements to put those into the big IT systems. And it's okay then to take 6 to 9 months to kind of get those into the big corporate systems, because in the meantime, the business is getting the value of the insights that they've developed on the solution that they have. And the IT guys can then build it out for scale to make sure it runs 24/7 and that it has all the right security around it and the things that they do really well to make certain that the data is available, always available, and the systems are up when people need it. So that's kind of how we've transformed the from, generating the big, Word document BRDs at the beginning and taking all this time to do it, to getting the tools and the data in the hands of the analysts who can then iterate and think through the questions and solidify what it is that they need and then show the IT guys. And it's really been a great partnership along the way in doing that. Between the business and the IT, they start to work together. They understand each other. And it's been a good journey.
Very cool. Very cool. And I imagine as they're doing all the scale out and as they're hardening everything that's come to be this new approved solution, because it basically is, solution. Each one of these is a different solution. The job has to keep going. The business has to keep running. And so they do a fantastic job of keeping data available or keeping the applications available while they're re-architecting.
Yes.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So just key learnings. I mean, can you want to go through what the key learnings and your conclusion are on this particular episode?
Yeah. So I'm super excited about Power BI because I have just a very rudimentary SQL skills. I can't pull data in and model it in SQL and SSIS and create, cubes and analysis services. So, for years, I've been relying on developers to do that for me and trying to communicate, this is what I need. No, that's not quite right. It's got to be this way, right? And so with tools like Power BI, I have the ability now to go out, I can connect to data, I can pull it in, I can model it, I can change it, I can fix it, and then I can get the insights out there so that my leadership can take action on that. And it's empowering the analysts is just key, and it really makes great things happen. So the keys that we've learned along the way are get the tools out to the analysts, the tools that they can use. Don't expect them to learn the big developer tools. So Power BI is a great, analyst tool. Start small, pull in small pieces of data, take a look at it, iterate, get it the way you need it, and then start expanding from there. But spend the time to get the data right. And that's really the key, because you can make bad decisions if you're not getting the data right. And frankly, good visualizations and insights don't happen without the data. So you can, you know, I see it all the time. People take PowerView that makes this really cool interactive stuff, and they try to put it on the some data that just, it doesn't make sense, and they can't make it work. And they think it's the tool that's the problem, and usually I find it's the data. So take the time to get the data right, get the visualizations, and unlock the actions.
Great, Jeff. So to close out, I think, you know, we're seeing Power BI really take off. We're seeing it across teams. We're seeing it as an everyday awareness that they're, you know, hey, we can go do this now. We don't have to wait as long to get the data or to get the charts and graphs that we need to make better decisions in our business. And generally, my takeaway is most of us, including me, you, don't know how to dive into SQL, don't know how to use SSIS or analysis services to get to the data. Power BI really enables that, enables us to do that job that we've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But we still need the developer side, and we still need the IT folks.
Yep.
Because once you do find some of the data, you might need to massage it some, you might need to change the way it comes about. And then the IT folks need to make sure that once you do provide this really cool solution, that you can scale it and use it again and again and again with failover and alerting and such. So
exactly.
I hear a lot of people talk about, are the IT guys going away? No.
No,
the data
exactly.
is getting so critical. You know, that data is so critical, the solution's so critical. We definitely need the IT folks behind the scenes making sure all this stuff works well.
Yep.
So, and I guess the biggest takeaway is we can do it ourselves. Now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's a partnership. The IT groups, they get the data together, they do the heavy lifting and do a lot of the really heavy work, which unlocks the analysts to really do the analysis and get the insights out and help people take action. So it's a partnership, as you say.
Very, very cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up the show for today. Any other closing thoughts, Jeff?
You know, it's try Power BI. It's a great tool. I've learned a lot over the last 6 months in using it, and I'm excited about the things that I can do that I've never been able to do before. So, if you haven't tried it, you know, go out to the Microsoft website and take a look and give it a try. It's a great tool. I'm super excited about it.
Very cool. That's Jeff Melton, folks. I'm Tommy Patterson. This is going to be a wrap for today's TechNet Radio. Check us out again later.